It was awesome being in Montclair today. I was there for a few hours this afternoon, and it was like people just came out of their caves or something. But everybody was just outside all over the place, like it was the beginning of the fall semester or something. But it was beautiful. It was a great day. So encouraging to hear all the encouragement sharing and just you guys out serving each other, loving each other. So grateful to be part of this family. And I'm very, very excited about the spring retreat we got coming up. Yay! It's going to be awesome. Very excited to have Kyle and Kristen Eastman come speak from Gainesville, Florida. And the theme, Revolution and Focusing on Jesus. It's going to be a very Jesus-focused retreat as it's the Jesus Revolution and he is the revolutionary. And so it's going to be awesome. And with the theme Revolution, one of the things that we want to do is make a little music video to the Kirk Franklin song, Revolution. And so what we're doing is every single, if you don't know that song, listen to it. It's awesome.
Don't mind if I'm Scott.
And so, yeah, you might have seen some of it in Matt and Mark's little retreat video. But what's happening is every region and church that's coming to this is filming themselves dancing for like 30 seconds to that song. And then JD's working on a montage video of that. So it'll be like a music video for the song of every different region dancing to it, one to another. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so after we're done with midweek tonight, we're gonna take a minute. JD's gonna film us. We're just gonna crank it in here and we're just gonna dance this for a minute in here. So, sound good?
Yeah.
So that's gonna be awesome. And then it'll be fun to watch that at the retreat together and see. I'm really excited to see Rochester's because I think there's just one guy that's going to be in it. And so that'll be fun to just watch him dance for 30 seconds or so. I don't know if you know Ethan or not, but it'll be awesome to watch him dance for a little bit. But I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun, and it's fun to be family and do stuff like this. So it's good stuff. So let me ask you this. How many of you want to be more disciplined, excellent in what you do, and effective at using your time? All right, if you don't, shame on you or help me out. So it's a lot of us. You know, our theme for this, oh, it's up here already. Come on, Mark. Our theme for this semester is grow. And so we're trying to grow to be more like Jesus and grow in different areas and grow in our walks with God. And so tonight we're talking about growing in time management. Growing in time management. Sound good? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Excellently using the time that God has given you, right? And that's what we're talking about. Look, God's given us a precious gift, which is time. And we want to use that time well. You know, the truth is we all have how many lives? You got one life, right? And then there's an afterlife, but you got one life. And for all of us, every single day has got 24 hours. No matter how successful you are or unsuccessful you are, you got 24 hours a day. We're all working with the same amount of time here, right? It's not like, hey, well, he gets 30 hours a day, I get 6. Well, you sleep too much. No, we all get 24 hours a day, and you could either use it wisely or you can waste it. And I think as disciples, we should say, God, thank you for these 24 hours. I want to use them well. I want to manage this time well. And so I think at the start of the semester, I wish we could have done this lesson even earlier. It was going to happen the night that we got snowed out, but you know, I think the start of the semester, the start of the year, it's a good time to think about, I've got a new year, a new semester, how am I going to manage this chunk of time that I have ahead of me here? It's a good time to think and talk about this. You know, being a Christian helped me to really start thinking about time management. I feel like before I was a disciple, I didn't think about time management. I did not manage my time well. It was just kind of like not thought about. It was wake up when I woke up and make sure I got to stuff close to on time. I don't know, it just wasn't like something I thought about, a planner, planning what time I went to bed, what time I woke up. It was, you'd wake up 30 minutes before whatever you had to be at, you know? And so that was my life, was I gotta be there at 8, I'll get up at 7:30 or whatever, you know? And so just enough time to get up, shower if I didn't yesterday, brush my teeth, eat something, and go, you know? And so, and then you just go through your day, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's due tomorrow, and I forgot about it, and then it's mentioned in class, and you're like, snap, I forgot about that. And just life, it just felt hectic, and I didn't know why, and a lot of it was because I was not disciplined, and I didn't have any sense of time management, and was just kind of living day to day, hour to hour, without any real focus or plan or wisdom and how I was using such a precious thing we have, which is time. OK, Can any of you relate to that lifestyle or way of living? So maybe that's where you're at now. And I think as a disciple, using my time well is something that I've been determined to be a strength of mine. I feel like, man, I've found a purpose in life, something eternal to live for. I've got to use this life to its maximum capacity. Man. I can't just go through my life living on a whim and hasty and just figuring out as I go. I got to plan, I got to think, I got to manage my time well. And so I've been determined as a disciple to let time management be a strength of mine. And I would encourage you for that to be a strength of yours as well. You manage your time well because you are a Christian and you're grateful for the time that God has given you. And so one of my biggest prayers is, God, use my life for as much as you can. Whatever you can do with me, help me to maximize it. Use my life for as much as you can, God. And so we should all live with that prayer of, God, use my life for as much as you can. But that's not going to happen if you don't have discipline and time management.
Come on, bro.
You're going to miss out on things God wants to do with your life if you just think it's going to happen automatically. Time management and discipline are key to seeing God use you for what he wants to do through you. So if you want to get to the end of your life and really feel like, man, I did a lot with my life, God used me in great ways, you've got to get discipline and you've got to decide that you're going to be deliberate about how you use what we call a day, 24 hours, and how you use your time. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll get to some practical stuff, but just like with everything else, time management starts with the heart, starts with our character, starts with our minds. So if you want to use your time well, you need to first manage those things. You've got to get your heart, your thinking, your character in the right place if you want to be good at planning and using your time. Does that make sense? So my first point on growing in time management tonight is Jesus is Lord of your time.
Come on, bro.
Jesus is Lord of your time. If you want to have great time management, then you need to have the mindset, the conviction, Jesus is Lord of my time. He's in control of it. He drives my schedule. He's the one that influences how I live, what I do with my time. Jesus is in charge of it. I use it his way for him, how he'd use it. Jesus is Lord of my time. If you said Jesus is Lord of your life, that means he's Lord of your time, because time is your life. So you can't say he's Lord of your life if he's not Lord of your time, right? And you could also go ahead and say that if Jesus is Lord of your time, he's Lord of your money, because time is money. Right? That's a worldly saying. I'm just saying, Jesus is Lord of your life, it means he's Lord of everything.
Right.
Part of everything is the clock and how you use the hours that you've been given. You know, Jesus set a great example for us in this. As we're trying to be like him, we could see that he thought about how he was going to use his time in a way of, well, what would God do? Or what does God want me to do?
Right.
And so in John 5, verse 16, it says, so, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so if you ask Jesus, what do you do with your life? He would say, I do what God would do with my life.
Love it.
The Son does what the Father does. What do I do? I do what God would do.
Great.
Right? That's what Jesus lived. Jesus, how do you manage your time? According to the will of God. According to the way of God. If you ask Jesus, what's your philosophy on time management, it would be God's way. I manage my time the way God would. And so Jesus being equal with God, being Lord of our life, if we say, well, how do I manage my time? The answer to that should be, I don't do anything on my own. All that I do is what Jesus would do. Jesus is Lord of my time. I don't do anything by myself. I don't go, well, Jesus, you're doing that at 3 o'clock. I'm going to do this at 3 o'clock. No, every day I do what Jesus would do.
Amen.
I use my life the way Jesus would have me use my life. That's what it means for Jesus to be Lord of your time. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the truth is that no one has had a greater impact on this world than Jesus. Nobody's used 33 years better than Jesus. Right? No one lived a more disciplined or excellent life. No one used a year better. Nobody used a day better. Nobody used a minute better or an interaction better than Jesus. He lived his life to the full. And when he died, he was able to say, it is finished. and completed what he came here to do. And so I want to encourage you that if you want to use your time well, following Jesus is the best first step you already could have made. If you're like, you know, I want to use my life to the full. I want to make the most of my life. I want to manage my time well. Deciding to follow Jesus and letting him be Lord of your time is the best first step you could take of time management. And so if you want to manage your time well, it starts with the heart, the mind, the conviction of Jesus is Lord of my time. So is Jesus Lord of your time? And I would ask you this too. Do you believe that your life can make a big difference? You should believe that. You should believe that Jesus called you and he wants to use your life to make a big difference. And then if you let him be Lord of your life and you do with your life what he would do with your life, that you're going to have a great impact with your life. Jesus needs to be Lord of your time. As disciples, we need Jesus to be Lord of our time, our schedule, our priorities, and our plans if we're going to make the most of it. This is not a burden on us, it is a gift. Yeah. Jesus is saying, man, with me being Lord, I'm going to make the most of you. And I'm going to help your life to have the greatest impact and for you to use the time I give you to the absolute best of its potential. And so I want to encourage you, when you made Jesus Lord and you made him Lord of your time, you made one of, oh, that's up there. You made one of the best decisions that you could have made, and that when you went under the water, the clock went under there with you. That when you surrendered your life, the way that you use your time was surrendered to Jesus as well. Amen? Jesus is Lord of your time. So what does that mean? It's just this, it's the conviction, it's the mindset that I do with my life what Jesus would do with his life. So when you look at your week, you go, am I living how Jesus would live?
Right.
What are my priorities in my life? Are they Jesus's priorities? Right? What decisions am I making when there's conflict with time? Do I make the Jesus decision? Right? Jesus being Lord of your time means that the way you use your time, you send through the filter of, well, what would Jesus do with this hour?
Amen.
What would Jesus do with this week, with this year, with this semester? Right? What would Jesus do? How would he use it? How would Jesus use this time to help his walk with God or to help other people in their walk with God? That's what it means for Jesus to be Lord of your time. You know, I think we've really got to have a conviction that our time matters. The way that you use a day really matters.
Yeah.
That Jesus wants to do things through you. So if you treat a day like whatever, it's missing out on an opportunity of something Jesus may want to do to connect with you, to use you, to help you grow, to have a great experience, to look back and feel like, man, I really lived life to the full. And so you've got to have a conviction, Jesus is Lord of my time. The way that I use my time matters, and I'm going to use it the way that he would.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that involves trusting him with your time. Mm. Because sometimes what Jesus would do isn't what we feel like is the best decision to make with our time.
Right.
And so we're like, man, Jesus would be devoted to the body, but I really need to study for this final. Or Jesus would go do this Bible study and not cancel last minute, but I got asked to go do this and I'd rather go do that. Or, you know, there's conflict sometimes and you know, is this what Jesus would do? And then you start thinking, well, maybe I'm just being legalistic, or you start getting into some battle with that when really it's just about trusting God.
Come on, bro.
Okay, this is what Jesus would do. So I got to trust him that even though from my viewpoint, this doesn't make sense, Jesus is bigger than what makes sense.
Yeah.
He runs the universe anyway. He doesn't need to make sense. And so if you do what he would do with your time, even if it doesn't match what you think you should do or want to do, you got to trust that he's going to work this out for the good.
Right.
You know, I've had to do this with classes. One of my last classes I took that I needed to graduate on time was Wednesday nights over the summer from 5 to 8:30. And I had to take this class. And so I talked to the professor before it started and I said, look, I have this church service that I go to every Wednesday night at 7:30. It's right down the road, but I'll need to walk out about 7:10 if I'm going to be there on time. What will the consequence for me be for doing that? And he said, well, right off the bat, I'm going to just drop you a full letter grade for lack of participation in being here. But if you do really, really well, you could possibly get a B. But you would have to, like, really do well in this class. And I said, that's totally fine with me. I felt like I'll get a B and still be at midweek. That's cool, you know? But it was having that conversation every single week. I went to class every time. I sat in the front. I paid full attention. I did every assignment on time. I left every single time at 7:10, came to midweek, and I graduated with an A in the class.
Man.
And so he didn't drop me the grade because I think he saw, I think it was God, but I think he saw, all right, this guy wasn't just trying to skimp out of here. He put forth effort. He did all the assignments well. And I think God just, really what it was, I think God just blessed it. And even if I got the B, that would have been fine with me. You know, B's are fine, you know. That's okay. If any of you are an A student, it's okay to get a B as long as you were really trying your best. You know, these are decisions we got to make. I was so proud of and inspired by Charles this semester because this dude has been trying to graduate for some years now. And so he got in this situation where this one class mandatory to graduate on time, which was the end of the summer, was going to be every Wednesday night. And the alternative was Thursday nights when he has Bible talk. I was like, well, at least that you can move around. But, you know, go have a conversation about this. And he prayed about it and he said, look, Either they're going to move my class to another time, or I'm going to go ahead and surrender and just graduate later than I was going to. And Charles prayed about that, and he surrendered that. If this class won't work out, then I'll just graduate one semester later. I'd rather be able to be at midweek, be with people, grow in my walk with God one more semester than to sacrifice that and graduate a few months sooner. And so I'm not saying everybody has to make that decision, but I think that was a very faithful decision. And Charles made that decision, and within a few hours, he got through, and even though the class was closed for the other time on Monday afternoons, he talked to the dean of that school at Willie P., and they put him through into the class. And so now Charles is here with us at midweeks. And so it's just trusting God, and it's surrendering. And if Jesus is going to be Lord of your time, it doesn't mean it's all going to make sense, but it means you could trust it. And then it means you could really believe that you're using your time the way it's supposed to be used. Amen? You know, Jesus has got to be Lord of our time if we want to use our time the best way it could possibly be used. And what's great about Jesus being Lord of our time is that when we make decisions like that, we could be like, we could be at peace that, you know what, I made the godly decision, so whatever happens from this, it's all good. And you can live with more peace and freedom instead of stress if you live with Jesus as Lord of your time, because you could really believe that he's going to work it out for you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's really important that we view Jesus as Lord of our time. How we use it, and then also the priority of how we use our time. What comes first? What comes second? We got to think through our priorities and make sure that our priorities are in the same order as Jesus's priorities.
Right.
Our relationship with God has to come first. And then our family, which most of you don't have this family level yet, which your immediate family is your spouse and your children. And you see in the scriptures that coming next. And then the church and the mission was Jesus's commitment. Family and friends, other relationships, school and work, hobbies. You know, all of these things are important. All of these things should be in our life. But which one are we most committed to and which one comes after that? All these need to fit in our schedule, but with what commitment level do we have them?
Come on, bro.
You know, this is really important to make sure that our priorities are in godly order. I will say this. I don't think it's about the amount of time you give to these things has to be in this order. Like, well, I spent 12 hours in class today, so I got to have a 12-hour quiet time. It's not about amount of time. It's about the devotion of the time. You know, it's like, how would I put this? For example, if God comes before school, it means that even though you have a lot of school coming up, you still spend time with God.
Right.
And that, it's like, if school's going to happen, time with God's definitely going to happen.
Right.
Right? And it's about commitment of the time. And which do I make sure happens first, and then the others come after that? I got to make sure it all happens as a responsible person, but which one do I make sure happens first? Does that make sense? You know, which ones do I give a lot of effort to versus gets, you know, which gets the first fruits of my day and which gets the scraps of my day? You know, and really making sure that we're giving to what's most value, the most valuable of our time. And then, you know, everything else falls in place after that. Like I said, you let Jesus be Lord of your time and keep your priorities in a godly order. God's totally going to bless it, totally going to work through you, and you're going to come out of this exactly in a better place than you even thought you could have come out of this. Some other scriptures that help me with this, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom's righteousness, the rest will be given to you as well. I take care of God, he'll take care of me.
Yes, sir.
You know, not that God needs to be taken care of, but I'll focus on God and then God will take care of me.
Yeah.
You know, Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. If I focus on godliness and God's things, then he's going to make sure all things work out for the good in my life. And so, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but if you think about a food pyramid, think about a time pyramid. Which things are getting the priority and which things don't get the priority? And you need to make sure that these things are in a godly order and that you're not going around swapping stuff up. Where it's like, all right, this, you know, God comes after this and before this, and really making sure that things go where they're supposed to go in your heart, in your life, and then in the execution of how you use your time. Does this make sense to you guys? So, stuff to think about. How are you doing trusting God with your time? How are your priorities? Are they in godly order? You know, the first key to managing your time well is making sure Jesus is Lord of your time and that you're trusting Him with it, you're really valuing it, and that He wants to use your time well, and then you have godly priorities. Amen? Yes. Second point. That's basically what I was saying right there. A noble man makes noble plans. Okay, so you're in a place where you're like, Jesus is Lord of my time. I want to do great things for Him. I want Him to use my life. Well, now you got to get down in the nitty-gritty of what am I going to do? How am I going to use today? What am I going to do this week? How am I going to use my time? Time management. You know, a passage I used to have right on the front of my planner, Isaiah 32:8. A noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands. Right? So a noble person, noble meaning a person of high honor or exemplary character or life, right? So something praiseworthy. A noble person makes noble plans, and then on noble deeds they stand. So if you want your life to stand on noble deeds, look at these great things God used me for, then you've got to be a noble person and make noble plans. If you're just like, I'll just wake up and do whatever, you're not going to be noble and standing on noble plans, right? You're going to be standing on whatever plans. So, you know, getting into, well, planning my life and my time, you know, this is something that I think you want to get advice about. You know, I always get advice about how I use my week, how I use my time. You know, I'm thinking about, well, what should I be prioritizing? When should I, you know, what should I be spending time on? And really getting advice about how to use your time is going to help a lot. Proverbs 15:22 talks about seeking advice to see victory assured, right? And so if you want to see your life used well, you want to get advice about it. Also with making plans, you know, this mindset of, okay, Jesus did everything well. I don't want the product of my life to be just average, subpar. All right, yeah, I got it done. I didn't give it my best, but I got it done. Or, you know, I think I did all right. You really want to do the best with your life that you can, right? You know, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, that we should plan our lives nobly. Okay, I want to do great things for God. I want to do well in school, well in the ministry, well in my relationships, well in my quiet times. The plan, the goal should be excellence in things. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so getting advice will help you with that. But, you know, a lot of it is just coming down to planning things out. And this is a lot. I'm going to get to this later, actually, instead of right now. A lot of this is what I viewed as working hard versus working smart. When I'm planning out my week, I don't want to just work hard. I want to work smart, right? You need to do both. But working smart is like, okay, what's the best use of my time this week? What's going to maximize my time and how I use it? And so, you know, one of the things that helps me to plan, I always try to start off a semester thinking and praying about some vision, some goals, things I want to grow in, things I want to have quiet times on, things with some of my main relationships and my family and friendships, things with the ministry, things I want to see accomplished. And then I factor some of that into my planning. Well, now to make sure I'm giving this stuff the best opportunity to have, and I got to plan it into my life, right? And so I got this whiteboard here. One of the things I would do at the beginning of every semester, if I were you, is to get either a blank sheet of paper or go on Google Images and print out just like a template of a week with the time broken up into it. You know what I'm talking about? Where I was like the time in it. And just pretend that it's a standard week, right? Pretend, okay, spring semester, this is an average week. Not a holiday week, not spring break. This is a standard week. Does that make sense? And one by one, just start filling in stuff that's going to go into your week that you're aiming for. And so what I do is think about godly priorities. Well, what things are definitely happening? And for me, it starts off just right away with meetings of the body. I know I'm going to be at church Sunday morning. I know I'm going to be at midweek Wednesday night. I know I'm going to be at Devo Friday night. And right, so putting in the meetings of the body, those are definitely in there. And then you start filling out classes and when all of your classes are and that kind of stuff, right? And you've got all those time slots filled out. And once you've got those filled out, you could start thinking about, well, when can I work? And working out your work schedule. And okay, this is all work time. This could be, that's Friday morning. This is Friday night. You know, this could be work time. And you start figuring out, well, when can I work? And then you could start to really see, wow, I've got all this time right here that I'm free, and all this time that I'm free, and this time that I'm free. And you could start to think about, well, how do I want to use that time?
Right.
Well, at the beginning of the semester, maybe I'll use this time to go out sharing and stuff. And then those will be times that I set up Bible studies. And these will be times that you put in when you do your homework, right? And you could just try to lay out, it helps me so much to lay out what is a standard week going to look like. And then as you actually get into the semester and you go week by week through the semester, you follow that pattern that you set out and you've got your to-do list or something, which I highly recommend having a to-do list. And for me, I put everything on it. Some of you may only use a to-do list for big things. If one of you came up to me tonight and you said, could you email me your PowerPoint? I would take out my to-do list and I'd write, email Ziamara PowerPoint. Like I don't want to forget anything. And what I love is that my to-do list can be an extension of my brain for me. You know, and it's like, if I put it on there, I don't have to remember it because it's remembering it. And then I have time in my schedule where I do things on my to-do list. And so when I sit down and plan my week, I look at my to-do list, I look at my schedule and I go, when am I going to do what? And then you just start plugging it all in. Does that make sense? You know, so if you don't have a planner or a to-do list, I would highly encourage you to get those things as soon as possible. Not having those, I think, not having a planner, not having a to-do list, whether it's a physical or the Google Calendar, I think it communicates a lack of drive to make the most of your life. You might not be aware of that, but it is kind of saying, I'm not really trying to do as much as I can with my life. I'm just figuring it out as I go, or I remember as it comes. You just try to, maybe it doesn't mean that for you, but just try to think about it. Like, how much am I really trying to make the most of a week or really be as effective as possible? You know, and think about how you could use your time best. I probably have some slides up here. This is a picture of my planner. But, you know, these are Luke. That was a Bible study, Bible talk, another study. This is when I was a student. So, you know, it's hard to read this. It's faded. But there's classes in there. And then I could see when I have free time and stuff in between stuff. So that I pull out my to-do list and I could fill in, well, here's what I'm going to do that homework assignment. Or, wow, look at, I could totally knock out that paper during this time right here this week. And you could sit down and really figure stuff out. I write up here what I'm going to read for my quiet times every day. I still do that now. I used to use this as my homework to-do list. Bible studies I had to set up, that's all this right here. And so just having something that you use to keep your life in order and make the most of it. I never, ever kept a planner before I was a Christian. But when I became a disciple, I felt like I want to use my life for as much as I can.
Yeah.
And so how am I going to do that if I don't even know when I'm free? How am I going to study the Bible with people if I don't even know when I can meet up with them? How am I going to do homework? How am I going to do this the best I can if I'm not trying my best to keep track of the time I've been given? And so this is something I would highly advise you to get on top of. To-do list, a planner, and try to use some of this stuff. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Clicking. Yeah, I don't know why it's not working. Can you click through, Shana?
I think it froze.
It froze or something?
We just did.
All right, it's all good. So, you guys just seeing my life up here. So, a noble man makes noble plans. So, plan nobly. Plan out your semester, your week, your day. I would think about it, go macro to micro. At the beginning of the semester, get out, this is what an average week is going to look like. And then on Sunday, you could go, this is what this week is going to look like. And then each morning, you could go, well, what's today going to look like? Right? And that's the way I go about it, and it's helping me a lot to think that way. What's the semester overall? And then as Sunday comes, okay, the week, and then each day, what's today? Because stuff might change. You know, day to day, things might end up changing and stuff. So make noble plans. And my last point is cut your clock killers. You've got to think about what are the things in your life that are keeping you from using your time well and causing you to waste your time. In Matthew 28, Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Jesus says, if anything causes you to sin, do what? Cut it out. And if you view wasting time as laziness or apathy or not living the way Jesus would, in some ways you could view it as sin or something that's causing you to sin is poor time management and discipline. Yeah. And so you've got to say, if there's stuff keeping me from being disciplined, I've got to repent of that stuff. I've got to change that stuff and cut it out of my life. So you've got to know your clock killers, the things that are keeping you from great time management and discipline. What are some common clock killers? I think one of the biggest ones that I think really we've got to look at ourselves with is laziness.
Come on, bro.
Just blatant laziness. And you might not think of yourself as a lazy person, but talk to somebody else and ask them what they think maybe. I don't know. Like I do think that one of the broad stroke weaknesses of our generation and young people today is poor work ethic and laziness. I think we're, and I'm included in this, I think we're very trained to get things as easy and quick as possible, and that's how we expect and want everything, and as soon as it's not that way, we complain and grumble and don't want to do it. And so look at Jesus's life and look for laziness. You're not going to find it. You know, if you want your life to be productive and effective, you've got to repent of laziness. Proverbs 6, verse 6 is a really convicting passage about this. Proverbs 6, 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It is no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. They're saying, look, sluggard, you lazy person, look at an ant. Nobody's out there telling it what to do. It's just getting out there and doing what it's got to do. It's storing up its stuff, and then it's got food when it's time to collect the harvest. Verse 9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. You know, there's really strong words in the Bible against laziness. And I think we've really got to look at ourselves and go, am I lazy? Do I have poor work ethic? You know, am I trying to get things easy, or am I the type of person that's willing to put in the character, the discipline, and am I going to be diligent and stick to the plans that I make? You know, so much of it is getting a planner and then you don't use it. You use it for a week and then you stop using it. You know, something gets inconvenient and you stop doing it. You just don't want to get out of bed. You don't have the character to go to sleep on time and you're up till 3 a.m. You know, a lot of this is just poor self-control and laziness, and it's a prevention from great time management and discipline. And so I think it's something to really think about. Oh, cool. Do you need
I'm sorry to interrupt. That signing book?
Yeah.
There's some people here who wanted to sign for it.
Charles, where'd you put it?
I'm just going to grab it.
He's got it. Get it from him.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. You're good. You're good.
Yeah. We'll be happy to take those things and we'll make sure somebody can get them to give you.
I'll carry them downstairs. Thank you. Amen. So, you know, thinking about that area of your life and trying to figure out, is that in there? You know, is a big problem. How many of you feel like laziness is a problem for time management? You know, I think it's something real that we've got to just repent of, like it's sin, because it is sin. You know, and it's if you can read through Revelation, it's called out as something that we really got to get out of our lives. It's keeping you from living like Jesus. It's laziness. And so, you know, one of the things that we were talking about today, some of the brothers, was being people who go the extra mile. You know, do you guys remember in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is preaching and he talks about if somebody asks you to go with them 1 mile, do what? Go with them 2 miles. Look, are we the people that when somebody says, go 1 mile, we say, are you kidding me, a mile? Get up at 7? Get up at 8? You know, like, or are we the person that says, you know what? I'm willing to go the extra mile. You know, disciples need to be the people that go the extra mile. Jesus said, go the extra mile. You know, if somebody says go 1 mile, you be the one that's willing to go 2. You've got to stand out as somebody who is not lazy. Somebody who has good character, work ethic, discipline, time management, and is not living like you don't have something purposeful and meaningful to live for.
Come on,
right? And laziness is saying, my life doesn't have value, it doesn't have meaning, my time doesn't matter, God, I don't appreciate it.
Wow.
You know, that's what laziness is. Staying up too late, not getting up on time. You know, each one of us should be able to go to bed by around 11 o'clock, get up at 6 or 7, have a solid quiet time, Get some homework done, pray and plan throughout your day. Get out there and live a really effective day. You'll be more energized, you'll feel better, you'll be more productive. It's seriously, I did this as a student, and it helped me so much to decide I'm just gonna get disciplined with this. Go to bed on time and wake up on time. I don't even have a choice anymore. I don't even set an alarm. I have a monitor next to me that a baby starts crying on somewhere around 6 o'clock every morning. And so that's my alarm now. And it's struggling. So I guess gotta get up, and it's like, and then it's a battle to figure out when who's having a quiet time and all that stuff in the morning. But guys, I really think one of the biggest weaknesses in our world today for our generation is laziness, wanting things easy, poor work ethic, irresponsibility. And I think one of the ways we could really be a light to the world is follow Jesus instead and be people who go the extra mile and are different in that way. So let's repent of laziness, talk to somebody about it, and figure out how you can start being like the ant instead of like a sluggard. Amen? What are some other things? I'm just going to go through these. Other clock killers that keep you from having great time management. Having no plan or a bad plan is something, right? Laziness and apathy. No plan or a bad plan. That's going to keep you from managing your time well. If you don't have a plan, don't have a planner, or it's a bad plan, you're not going to manage your time well. No accountability or help, right? And it's there's no advice seeking or other people that really are helping you out with how you use your time in your life. That's going to keep it from going well. Excuses and procrastination keeps you from managing your time well. And, you know, procrastination, it just doesn't help anything. It adds stress. It adds it adds poor quality to our work. If you're going to do it anyway, this is a bad example, kind of, but I learned from it. I got suspended in high school, and so I had Saturday suspension, and so, not Saturday, in-school suspension for 3 days. And so I was in-school suspension for 3 days, and it was because of poor conduct during a school lockdown drill, you know, like where you're like pretending people are breaking in and I was not behaving well during that, if you can imagine. I was like, you know what? I'm stuck in this room all day for 3 days. I'm going to knock out all of the homework I've got for as long as I can. And so I got my syllabuses out, and while everybody else was sitting in there complaining about being there, I cranked out like 3 weeks worth of homework, you know? And I felt like the next 3 weeks were like awesome. I felt like I had nothing I had to do, you know? And then when we had Hurricane Sandy, I was locked in for like a week, right? And I stayed at the Craig's house because they had power. School was closed for a week. I looked up my syllabuses. I knocked out the next couple weeks of homework for all the classes I had. And then for the next few weeks, I felt like I had so much extra free time instead of just being lazy with this opened up time that God gave. And so a lot of this procrastination, making excuses, if you could just try to repent of procrastination, get ahead of the schedule, stuff you're going to do anyway, you're going to feel a lot more freedom. Everybody else in class is going to be like, my gosh, I have to start that paper. And you're like, I'm done. I just got to reread it again so I can make some tweets to it, you know, but otherwise I'm good. You know, when you start living that way, it's freeing and it's stress relieving, and you do a lot better with stuff as well. What are some other things? Lukewarmness. What I mean by that is when you say, okay, I'm going to work on homework for this hour, or I'm going to go sharing for this hour, and during that hour you're half-hearted in what you said you were going to do, then you're wasting that time. When you say I'm studying, then you got to study for that hour. When you say I'm working on something, you got to work on something for that hour. When you say I'm meeting up with this person, then focus on that person for that hour. When you say I'm going to go sharing, don't stand around talking to the disciples, go sharing for that hour. Right? When you say I'm using this time this way, use that time that way, and that's going to be great time management. You're using the time the way that you planned on using it instead of being lukewarm about it. You've got to give 100% attention to what you're doing if you want to make the most of that time. Does that make sense? And so think about it. If you say, I'm going to study for this hour, but then you study for a few minutes, and then you answer a phone call, and then you check Facebook, and then you look over at something else, and then it's like you didn't study for an hour. And now you need to waste another hour or two studying because you didn't just study for the hour you were supposed to study, and you could be done. You know, if you say, hey, I really want to meet some open people, I got an hour freed up, I'm going to go sharing, and then you stop and get a drink, you stop and talk to the other disciples, you stand around, I'm going to go pray, you sit down for 10 minutes praying, not that it's wrong to pray, but pray quick, you know, and then it's like the hour, it's like you only spent 15 minutes sharing, you know, and it's like you could have used that time a lot better.
Right.
And this is kind of time management, but it, you know, something I'm trying to work on is really making sure that part of time management, part of how we use our time is for relationships, right? Our relationship with God and our relationships with people and working into our lifetime with people. People are really important and people need to fit into our life. We need to make time for people in our lives. And when you make time for people, don't be lukewarm while you're with them. And what I mean by that is if you set up time with somebody, just put your phone away while you're spending time with them. If you're in a Bible study with somebody, put your phone away during the Bible study. You know, one of the things Chelsea and I talked about recently is these 2 hours we have a few days a week from 5 to 7 where we have family dinner and we play together and then we do bath time and put the kids to bed. We feel like we were looking at our phones too much in between all of that. And so the other night we started with just putting our phones in our bedroom for those 2 hours and really saying, you know, I don't want to be, I want to be hot with this time, not lukewarm, right? And give my heart, give my attention, give my time to these people. And so we've got to not be lukewarm and kind of do what we say we're doing, but give 100% attention to it. Amen?
Amen. Great stuff.
Got a few more of these and then we're going to wrap up here. Being tired is not going to help you to use your time well. And this is what I talk about. If you really want to use your life well, you got to decide you're going to go to bed on a certain time and wake up on a certain time. And I'll say this too, our bodies work better in rhythms than sporadically. And so if you're consistent with going to bed and waking up at the same time, you'll start to adjust to that.
Right.
You might wake up at 6 or 7 one day and feel like, no way I can do this. Well, do it for a week, go to bed on time for a week, and your body will adjust to it. And then just stick with it, you know, and you're going to get better rest, and then you're going to have a lot more energy during your day. I don't have this up here, but one of the other things that keeps us from good time management is just self-infliction, beating yourself up, dwelling on mistakes, and telling yourself that why bother doing something because you're not going to do well with it anyway, or you messed up with that last time. I think just pessimism, worry, stress, negative thinking, that can cause us to not use our time well. One of the other things is, we talked about distractions already, making sure that we're mindful of transitionary periods. What I mean by that is you're in a rhythm, things are going well, and then there's a holiday. When the holiday is over, what's going to happen? You know, or you get sick, or there's a winter break, right? We got to make sure that we're mindful of this is a temporary thing, and then I got to get back to it.
Right.
Right? Sometimes we're in a rhythm, holiday, out of rhythm. Right? And then we're all in a funk now. You have the holiday, then get back on pace, right? Does that make sense? And the last thing I'll say is just really making sure that you make time to have hobbies and to do things you like watching TV shows or sports or exercise or different things that are hobbies, but just making sure that those things are put in their right place in your time and that those are in there, but that they're in there in the right place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And here's the thing, guys, with TV shows, with hobbies, it's all good, right? Unless it becomes something that we're debaucherous about, right? And overdo and overuse. The way I feel about it is if I manage my time really well and I'm disciplined, I get up on time, I have a great time with God, I'm out serving and I'm doing my job well and I'm productive and I'm knocking things off my to-do list, I'm ahead on stuff, then when it's the end of the day and we're done, I like feel guilt-free just watching a couple TV shows. And it's not like I watch it and then I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that. The reason you feel that is because you're not using your time well.
Mm-hmm.
If you were disciplined in using your time well, then when you finally get around to that hour of having a hobby or whatever it is, you just get to enjoy it.
Right.
Instead of kind of enjoying it and then feeling bad about it or like that was stupid because you have so much other stuff you should have done.
Right.
Right? It's all just a big character issue that we've got to work on being disciplined. And then you can enjoy hobbies a lot more as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's a big list of stuff I went through. Some of it applies to you, some of it doesn't. I just would encourage you to think about Think about your life. Think about, well, how do I want to use my time? What are my clock killers? And talk to somebody about them. Talk about the stuff you want to change so that you could be more effective with your time. And cut out your clock killers. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I feel convicted when I think about how much longer I have to live. It seems like a while, but then it kind of doesn't. You know, if you live 50 more years, that's only 438,000 hours. Kind of sounds like a lot, but you're going to sleep probably about 130,000 of them if you're responsible. If you're irresponsible, you'll probably sleep a lot more of them or a lot less, but just be totally exhausted the rest of them, right? But I mean, we're talking about like 300,000 hours that you've got, right? And I think we really got to think about, what am I going to do with them? What am I going to do with my life?
Come on, Rob.
What you want to do with your life is synonymous with how you use your time. Your time is your life.
Right.
Each breath, each hour, each minute, that's your life going by. And the way that you choose to manage that time is you deciding what your life is going to be worth. What impact your life is going to have. What impact your life is going to leave behind. And I think we got to leave here believing it really matters how we live.
Yep.
As followers of Jesus, we should have the conviction of, God, use my life for as much as you can. I want to be used for as much as possible. You know, I love looking at Jesus and seeing how focused he was and disciplined and how productive and effective he was. And I know that when he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," talking about his life, he laid it all out there. And he used every day, every hour, the way God wanted him to. And he left behind the greatest impact that the world has ever seen. So something we've got to think about is, when we get to the end of our life, will we be able to say, "It is finished"?
Mm-hmm.
Or will we say, "It's half finished. I wasted a lot of it.
Wow.
I should have managed my time better.
Come on.
Man, I shouldn't have watched so much TV. Man, I should have just gotten up and gotten out of bed more." You know, are we going to look back and say we should have done differently? Or are we going to look back and say, "It is finished.
Come on, Rob.
I used my life to its full potential. I made each hour count. I invested in people. I invested in my relationship with God. I put first things first, and I made sure that my life was a big investment that really made a difference."
Yeah.
The way that you use your time, thanks, man. The way that you use your time, it's going to affect how you view eternity and how you look back from eternity.
Come on.
Right? What do you want to look back at? I want to look back at a life to the full, where I used my time well and really invested in it. So I want to encourage you guys, grow in time management. Talk about this stuff. We'll figure out how to talk about it in times together or whatever. But think tonight about how you want to use your time differently. Let Jesus be Lord of your time. Ways that you need to grow in that. Anything you want to try to repent of to help you do that. But guys, let's really let Jesus be Lord of our time and manage it well to live productive, effective lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.